on RadioVegas.rocks. It's time for the Oscar, Bernie, and Ernie History of Comedy Show. They know a lot because they were there to live it. Now, give it up for your hosts of the show that is making history, Oscar, Bernie, and Ernie.
The funniest psychiatrist I know, Mr. Bob Newhart.
Bob Newhart's spot. Don is my best friend, which just gives you some idea of the difficulty I have in making friends. As some of you may have already known, Don's hotel room was recently robbed. The only thing that was taken was the music to Don's act. So far, the Chicago police have picked up 33,000 people who might have had a possible motive. Don is just about to sign one of the largest deals in the history of Las Vegas. Why he is signing Frank's deal, we'll never know. But Don has not done that well in television. He's had four series now. The last one, a couple of Dons received a -4 Nielsen rating. This means not only that no one watching, but several people without TV sets had heard about the show and said if they got one, they wouldn't watch it. That doesn't matter. I'm going to get it later, so I may as well stay up here a few more times. But Don's career continues to skyrocket. We'll be announced in a few days in the trades, in the papers, that Don has been chosen as the national spokesman for Preparation H, which will... We're all quite excited about it. Many unkind things have been said about Don. As his best friend, I think it's incumbent upon me to tell you the true facts. And I don't think Don will take umbrage at this because Don doesn't know what the hell umbrage means. It's been said that Don never helps other performers. I remember when I was starting out, Don pulled me aside and gave me some advice. We have a saying in our business: be nice to people on the way up because you meet the same people on the way down. Don told me you run into entirely different people and the hell with them.
Right on, right on, right on. Hey, that was fantastic. That was a roast of Don Rickles. We had Bob Newhart there. And our guest this week is Don Dino. He is the Lounge King of Las Vegas. I'm happy to say performed with him. I was actually alive back in 1980 performing on stage with him at the Aladdin Hotel. And it's great to have him as our guest because he's got a lot of stories, I'm sure, of old Las Vegas. Welcome, Don Dino.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, John. Appreciate it.
It's great to have you here tonight. Let me ask you something. How many years total have you been in Las Vegas now?
Well, I came to Las Vegas in 1979.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Now, you're from New York originally, or did you spend time in California before you got here?
Well, originally I was born in Italy.
Oh, wow.
And when I was 10, my parents came to the United States.
Very interesting.
And I was raised in Brooklyn, New York.
Fantastic. Now, when did you start singing? At 10 you came over here. Were you singing in Italy, or is that something you picked up when you were in the States here?
Every kid who's Italian has to play the accordion. So I learned the accordion when I was about 6 years old. So when I landed in New York, started my first band when I was 13 years old.
Fantastic.
And by the time I was 16, I was considered, I was being billed as the king of bar mitzvahs.
Fantastic.
We did weddings and bar mitzvahs and stuff like that.
Uh-huh, bar mitzvahs, bat mitzvahs. Yeah, we used to tape them all here in Las Vegas back in the day. Yeah. In fact, we taped our act with you, the Ain't Brothers, years ago over at the Aladdin. Now, let me ask you, because being in New York at that time, what were some of the people that you bumped into? Did you bump into Frankie Valli or any of the fellas that were out of New Jersey? Or the people, maybe Jennifer and Natoli, Jet Loring, the band that was here? Touch, they were the name of their band. They were over at the Maxim back in the day.
No,
have you ever run into any of those people?
But I ran into singers like Jimmy Roselli, who's an Italian iconic singer.
And there's over at the Tap House, I see the fellow Bob Tiffy, isn't it? Jerry Tiffy.
Jerry Tiffy. Oh, yeah, we're friends for years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he's out of Cleveland.
Well, I used to work Cleveland five times a year. And I worked the place called Saints and Sinners. I don't know if you heard of it.
Oh, yeah. And they had the Saints and Sinners here in Las Vegas, too.
Yeah. And also the Bluegrass in Cleveland.
Interesting. Yeah. Now, when you were playing the accordion, how long were you on that? Or did you jump to the piano? Or
no. I could play piano, but I can only play right-handed because the left hand doesn't work unless they have buttons on it, you know?
Now, that is funny because my dad played piano. Actually, my grandmother taught it, and he only taught me how to play with my left hand, the boogie-woogie.
Really?
I couldn't play anything on the right hand. I say to my old man, I go, Dad, what am I supposed to do? He goes, hey, kid, beat it. So I took up drums. Ba-dum-bump.
Ba-dum-bump, that's right.
Now, that's interesting. That's really funny. Yeah. Now, being from the New York area, you got to be a Yankees fan. You see what's going on here?
Yeah.
What happened to them this year? I don't know. Alex retired. The team went to...
I know. And I should be ashamed of myself because the past 2-3 years, I have not been, you know, up to date with baseball and the Yankees.
Well, I think 3 years ago was the last time they did anything. I can understand why you feel that way. Hey, at this point, I got to do a couple of commercials. We're going to cut away in a couple of minutes to be able to play some more of the local... comics from our scene here in Las Vegas. I want to mention Amnesia Salon. Now, Amnesia Salon is over on Losey Road. And Ernie over there will take care of you real good. And he says the reason why they call it Amnesia is you come in one way and you can forget about it. I mean, that's what they call the place in New York. Forget about a salon, Amnesia. And they're going to make you look wonderful by the time you get out of there. And they do a lot of neat things like the color highlights, the hair extensions. They handle all ethnic hair. They do Brazilians. They even do manzillions for the metrosexuals that want to get over there. And we want you to go check out the Amnesia Salon. You can give them a call. They're open 9 to 6 over there at 6462 Losey Road. And check them out. And right now, we got a new guest in here. We got this fella, Johnny Vegas. He's going to come in here, and he's going to do a quick ad for his advertising business. Hey, Johnny Vegas, how you doing? Hey, I'm Johnny Vegas, and I'm going to put your business on the streets. That's right. If you want us to advertise you, we'll talk you up real good. In fact, I'm going to advertise your business for free. In fact, once you make money, all you got to do is make a donation. My cousin Vinny Parmesan, yeah, that's his name, and or Vito Linguini. One of them guys are going to come by. You can make a donation to them as soon as your business is talked about real good. So right now, we want to cut away. Chris, take it away, bud. We're going to hear something from our comedy fellows.
I love dialect stories. There's a story about the man that committed adultery, and he went to the corner church, and he said to the priest, he says, Father, he says, I've done a terrible thing. I've broken one of the commandments. I've committed adultery. Please, I beg of you, I'd like some absolution. The priest says, well, Tim, we all have our idiosyncrasies. Who was the woman? He's no father. I can never divulge the woman's name. Please don't ask me to divulge the woman's name. He says, Tim, until you can tell me the woman's name, I'm afraid I cannot give you absolution. Was it Mrs. McCaffrey, whose husband's the butcher on the corner? No, father, it wasn't Mrs. McCaffrey. Please don't ask me the woman's name. I can never divulge the woman's name. He says, Tim, I'm telling you, until you tell me the woman's name, I cannot give you was it Mrs. McGinnis? He said, no, father, it wasn't Mrs. McGinnis. Please, father, I can never divulge the woman's name. He said, Tim, until you can make up your mind to give me the woman's name, I can't give you absolution. And Tim started to walk out of the church. And his friends, well, Tim, did you get absolution? He said, no, but I got some wonderful leads.
around. The Oscar, Bernie and Ernie History of Comedy Show returns right after this. Gangster presents the limited edition Gangster G-Series Gold Headphones. The G-Series features Bluetooth 4.1 CRS technology. Pair them with any Bluetooth device. Move where you want with a 30-meter Bluetooth range. The G battery features a 15-hour battery life, so you can go all night. The G-Series has a built-in mic, so you can use them for calls. Superior audio quality with state-of-the-art 40-millimeter drivers in a sleek but tough design. Easy-to-use controls lets you enjoy your audio experience. The G-Series comes packaged with a G-Cable for charging. G-Audio Cable. The Drew Magin Design G Bandana. And the G-Travel Bag with baby soft white leather ear cups for comfort. So you have the freedom to listen to your music your way without a pound of machinery on your head. Gangster. Style never sounded so good.
Fresh Balls is a men's self-drying hygiene cream that is applied directly to the testicles to keep them fresh, dry, and clean. The smooth, talc-free, and aluminum-free formula prevents ball sweat, itch, and any unpleasant odors. Fresh Balls is applied in cream form, but quickly dries as you rub it in. The more you apply, the thicker the dry coat of powder will be left behind. However, it doesn't leave a mess like traditional baby powder does. Fresh Balls is made by Happy Junk, the makers of Fresh Breasts and Fresh Feet. If you are looking for a male hygiene cream to keep you your freshest so you are always ready for action, definitely give Fresh Balls a try.
For every awesome, stanky, and highly questionable situation, quick dude shower. DudeProducts.com.
The laughs continue on the Oscar, Bernie and Ernie History of Comedy Show.
Son of a bitch.
Look at the front. They're old people. They don't know what the hell's going on. This guy's sitting here going, hell, hell, hell. He can't even breathe. I got to make him laugh, for Christ's sake. Is that the husband? Now, God bless you. I'm a friend. Put him in a home.
Are you done with me? You need to go sit down?
Am I done with you? I was done with you when I met you. That's right. Go back to the piano, pump the organ, and hope you're Catholic. No, I make fun of all people. Catholics, Irish, Jews. Well, Jews, I don't like to make too much fun. No, we're perfect people. We really are. Found a few bump breaks with the Red Sea trick, but hey, you can't win them all. That's what I do. I laugh about people. Look at this elderly couple, smiling and laughing, knowing, tops, you got another month. No, God forbid, you got years together. How many years you married, darling? 35 years to this guy? I'm married 49 years. Don't applaud, you never saw her. Real Jew broad, just lays in the bed going, more jewelry, more jewelry. I don't know what you do, Pop, on a wedding night. We don't just rush at it. And I circle the bed. You got to do that and get an estimate. Now, are you Jews? How'd you get those seats? What's your last name, Dad? What's your last name? No, I'm talking to your man. Is he deaf? What's your last name, Dad? Vitzel. Oh, with them, Mitchell. Good to see you. Remember the old days, Mitchell? No wonder he didn't want to tell me his name. I remember you. You were a god at Camp Schneemann. Good to see you, Mitchell. I'm only kidding. I don't care what you are, German, Irish, Jew, Italian. I do care. I'll be honest. I do. No, I don't care what you are. You're a nice couple. You're retired, right, Dad? No. You're not retired? You're an old man. Sit down. It's over, for Christ's sake. And as I said, I'm married to a wonderful lady, 49 years. She has a new thing now. She gets horny about 4 in the morning. She starts like that. Pussycat, pussycat. And I gotta get my ass under the bed and go, meow, meow. But you do it. Of course, everything's in her name. Take it easy. Take it easy, for crying out loud. What the hell are you, Count Basie, for Christ's sake? That was the basic theme, right?
Yes.
You just made that up now, right?
Right.
Let me ask you this. Was that worth losing your job?
I'll trade you laughter for love. I'll trade you one for the other. Laughter for love. What can you lose? Some madness from earth. And for whatever it's worth, whether you like it or not, I'll give you all that I've got. I'll trade you sunlight for gold. One shines as bright as the other. Love is pure gold, and laughter the sun. Life, this is my life. For all of my life. And you are part of this life. I swear that it's true. I love to do what I do, to share this laughter I give, for just a little love from.
Hey, we are back at the Oscar and Bernie with Ernie History of Comedy Hour. And we got a lot of history here going way back here in Las Vegas. Our guest tonight is Don Dino, and I'm happy that he's here. Got to make a quick announcement for a tax service and more over on 3140 Durango. Call them at 702-240-8090. If you got any tax problems, they'll help you out. If you're in a jam with the IRS, get a hold of them over there. Anyways, Mr. Don Dino.
Yes, sir.
I was listening to your lady here, and she was mentioning you've got a documentary that you guys are putting together here about the Las Vegas Strip and our history a little bit.
Well, it's about the iconic showgirl. And what we're doing, we are preserving the iconic showgirl. And not only that, a lot of people who have seen the showgirls in the past years, I think a lot of them just think they were just, maybe they compared them to pole dancers or stuff like that.
Right.
But no one really knew, and still don't know until we promote this thing, that they actually had to take ballet, tap dancing lessons, and they were actually incredible dancers, even though they just maybe walked out with a 25-pound headdress on their head, but they had to be schooled, you know? A lot
right.
of people don't know that. And they're responsible, I believe, for Las Vegas of today. They really are.
Let me ask you this. What inspired you to take on that topic? I mean, you've been around the casinos all your adult life and everything, but, I mean, what was the motivating factor that got you to take on this?
Well, I was at the Italian-American Club for a benefit, not a benefit. They were honoring a young lady called Cindy Domeni.
Huh.
You might be familiar with the family.
Huh.
They used to own a Tropicana in the day, you know.
Oh, okay.
So they were honoring Cindy Domeni, and she was talking, and she gave her little speech, and then she walked off, and then she ran back on stage and says, oh, by the way, for some of you who might not know, I used to be a cowgirl before I was a showgirl. And the minute I saw that, I told my wife, Donna, I said, write that down. So we wrote a country song, Cowgirl to Showgirl, and from that we sat with her. Yeah, and we sat with her, and we... started to understand her life and how it happened, you know. And she was a showgirl in the late 50s, I believe.
Well, no, was it the Follies that ran there for many years? It was a show at the Tropicana,
that's right. Well, they owned it when the Follies was there.
Oh, wow, interesting. Yeah. I remember Joe Delaney had a radio show over there, too, at one point.
Yes, sir.
We did his show years ago over
there.
Yeah,
the atrium.
In the atrium. Yeah, the Tropicana's got a lot of history. When they built the two towers, I had a video production company here in town. They asked me to go up there and videotape it. So I'm on the top of the building as this construction guy was kicking like the last boards off the edge. And he says, come on over here, take a picture of this. I go, no, I'll stay right here. I'm not getting hazard pay to go over there and watch you kick that board. I couldn't believe it. But the Tropicana had a heck of a history. Like the Flamingo, too.
Yeah.
Bugsy's place in the back there, they were going to rip that building down, they thought, in 2 weeks. And it took like over 2 months because I guess the walls were 8 foot thick back in there and stuff where he had everything cemented in. I don't know. And they get shot through a window in L.A. I don't know. Put the cement in the wrong place, I guess. But anyways, let me ask you this. Now, when is the production date? When are we going to be able to see the documentary? Where are you going to take it to? Is there different film festivals you're looking at?
Exactly. Hopefully, we'll be complete with all the interviews by the end of this year.
Oh, nice.
And it's going to take about 6 months to edit everything that we've shot, you know. So, yes, we're going to have a premiere on it, and you'll be invited, of course.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate that. I got to see Natural Born Comics when Pauly Shore did that.
You know,
it's funny. He invited me and the puppet. His mom hates puppets. You think I could get on that stage down there? Forget about it. But Pauly, man, he invited us up to the Tao to see his movie when that came out. No, that sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
I have a friend by the name of Andy Martello, and Andy, he works for Price is Right, going around the country putting on the production of The Price is Right in different cities.
Yeah.
And he was with Ringling Brothers at one point, and I worked with them at the Sapphire. We were over there doing a comedy show. Very talented fellow, and he wrote a book about Willie Martello, the king of casinos, about Searchlight Nevada and the little El Rey Hotel down there. And it's a fantastic book. But the funny thing of it is there, they shot a movie, and it was the first movie that Francis Ford Coppola edited.
Wow.
And it was, I mean, just an off-the-wall type of thing, but it was like his start. And it's and I guess the tie-in to that is that's the swimming pool that Harry Reid learned to swim in. That's what Searchlight Nevada was famous for back in the
day.
That's
good.
But, yeah, I love stuff like that. Yeah. Anything that shows the old Vegas and brings it out. And like you say, the showgirls, they had 25-pound headdresses on. And I guess, you know, otherwise, if you don't know what you're doing, you probably get whiplash. You know?
That's true. But between the weight of the headdress and the rhinestones and their complete costume, it went anywhere from maybe 20 pounds to 40, 45 pounds.
Unbelievable.
That they carried on their complete body.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And downtown, we see them downtown. You can go down there and get your picture taken with a couple of showgirls if you're walking around Fremont Street.
Yeah, but they're not really the authentic.
They're not the authentic ones. Those are the ones Oscar already had running around downtown, and they're out there on Fremont Street. Well, everybody's got to make a buck doing something.
Yeah.
You know. But what's interesting, too, is I know the burlesque dancers. I mean, I used to do a show over at called the Rare and Bear Burlesque Show with Lou DuPont, and he would work three puppets at once at the old Royal Casino here in town.
Wow.
And that was a burlesque show. Those ladies were really a class act. That was a lot of fun. Speaking of class acts, we have some music here from Mr. Don Dino,
uh-oh,
and we'd like to play a little of that for our audience can check that out. So when we got a chance, we're going to have the maestro hit it.
When the twilight is gone and no songbirds are singing, when the twilight is gone, you come into my heart, and here in my heart you will stay while I pray. My prayer is to linger with you at the end of the day, in a dream that's divine.
Fantastic. That is fantastic. Wow, I love that. That is really great.
I'm just amazed that we fit this whole band in your room.
In this closet on the 44th floor behind the dumpster at the taco stand. Yeah, that was fantastic. I really enjoy your music. I mean, great. That is just really super, super duper. Yeah. Is there a website people can go to order?
You can go to dondinoshow.com.
Excellent.
That's my website.
Oh, okay. Excellent, excellent. Yeah. You got pictures there of the people you've performed with over the years and everything?
Yes, I do.
Drop some names. This is a show business. You're allowed to.
That I'm allowed to? Oh, Humperdinck.
Ah, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Tony Bennett, of course.
Oh, excellent.
He's one of my...
Oh, that had to be wonderful. Yeah. Huh? He had to be an icon you always wanted to meet.
And Tony Orlando.
Nice.
Yeah,
nice.
We've been friends for like 30, almost 40 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
I'd like to hug that guy just because he was so close with Freddie Prinze.
That's right.
You know, and I saw Freddie Prinze when I was 21 years old, open for Shirley MacLaine at Caesar's Palace. And he was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was.
He inspired me. I was 21 years old. 3 months later, he was dead. Yeah. I meet Sam Kinison when he was 38, Yeah. I loved that guy. I was 38. 3 months later, he was dead. If you're a 62-year-old comic, do not talk to me, because I don't want to say 3 months later you are dead.
How about singers? Whoa, wait a minute.
No, we're all right. Why, are you 62?
No.
Oh, you don't have to worry about anything. You're a singer. You don't have to worry about it. But, yeah, it's just amazing, the talent that Freddie Prinze had. Yeah. I mean, I just sat there in awe of him. I mean, he was just tremendous. And actually, what got me into comedy was our community college back in Ohio, instead of having a singer or a band for homecoming, these maniacs had George Carlin. Wow. They were my fraternity brothers. They were all returned Vietnam vets, and that's what they did. But Tony Bennett, how long ago did you get to meet him?
I met him at the Dunes Hotel.
Wow.
In the Bob Anderson show.
Oh, Bob was great. When he was downstairs or at the top of the
top
Dunes?
Top of the Dunes.
At the top of the Dunes.
That's when I first met him.
He was fantastic, Bob Anderson. Yeah. The impressions that he did, and then he did the Tonight Show a bunch of times. He was such a nice guy. He let me get on stage with Bernie over there at the Sands when he was at the Sands some years ago.
Well, he was just at the, well, not just, I think he closed. Last year he was at the Venetian.
Really?
And he did the complete makeup of Sinatra.
Oh, yes, I did see he was going to do that.
Yeah,
That's right.
And it was successful. I think the stay was like, the run was 6 months.
Nice.
He did a great job.
Very nice. Another fellow that does Sinatra here in town, a young fella, is David Shandor, David Costa.
Never met him.
No. He does them around town. I see him from different places around town. But Bob Anderson, a fantastic guy. And another guy that did impressions here in town that ended up down in L.A. was Frank Welker. Do you remember Frankie Welker? Yeah, he came in, he performed at the Hilton a couple of times. I seen him over there. He was an amazing talent. And then he went down to L.A., and he's done, you've seen movies and stuff with him doing voices and things like that, you know, which I probably missed a beat not getting down there and doing a few things.
I was impressed with a gentleman. He's a friend also, Gordy Brown.
Oh, nice.
Have you seen him?
No, I haven't, but I've seen him advertised, and I noticed he's got new management. I just read about him in the paper here. Yeah. He seems like a great guy, because just from the fact that I was selling tickets for Jon Stewart, I don't know, seven, eight years ago, downtown, and Gordy was down there.
He's not what you call a stand-up comic in person, but between his music and his impersonations, he's excellent, and he's funny as heck. He really is.
I should see his show. And then it's the same thing with Bob Anderson. He did a lot of musical impressions that were just phenomenal. And his voices were tremendous.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of fun over the years.
It has.
You know? It's nice seeing you again, too, because like I was saying to Chris here earlier that I haven't seen you since 1980. I was glad that we hooked up on Facebook and on our Oscar and Bernie YouTube channel. I just put up today 18 minutes of us performing with you guys over there. Yeah. Fred Welker. Okay, I thought it was Frankie.
No, it is Frank. It's
all right. It is Frank. Okay, Frank. Okay. On Scooby-Doo. All right, very cool. Scooby-Doo. Yeah, that's one voice. There's a couple of voices I had hard times doing until I heard somebody else. Like, for some reason, Ronald Reagan was really tough for me to do. And I saw somebody else do it. And it's just like, well, there you go again.
Hey, but that,
you know,
that's good.
The airiness of the way the voice came out. I don't know. I had a hard time getting it. And then others just kind of came easy. Jimmy Carter, I don't know. He came pretty easy. The one I loved was George Burns. Because when I met him, he said to me, you know, kid, you're going to have left in show business for 20 years before I made it. I said, well, George, that makes me feel good. And he looks at me shocked. He goes, why is that? I said, I flopped for 10. I'm halfway there. He goes, good, kid. Never quit. Who was an inspiration to you when you were up and coming? Was there somebody that pulled you aside and says, Don Dino, I can do this for you, I do that for you, or I want you to try this or try that, or you just kind of did it on your own, and it just came from singing with the family? And
well, actually, I did it on my own. I don't know if that's good or bad. I think it's great.
Oh, yeah,
You know, because
you're creative.
When you kind of do it on your own, you kind of see everything, all your mistakes, all your goods, bads, and difference, you know. But no, through playing the accordion and having my own band up until I was about 19 years or 20 years old, the female singer didn't show up one night. So there I am behind an organ. I didn't play piano. I played organ, which was kind of comparable to an accordion, you know. So she didn't show up. So I looked at the bass player. I said, well, what are we going to do? I said, well, you sing. I said, well, maybe I could sing a couple of songs, you know. So I started singing from behind the organ. So she was gone. She was sick for about 3 or 4 days. So about the third day, I just got up from the organ and I got out front and started singing. And the first time I did that, I said, wow, look at this. The piece of furniture is not in front of me, you know? So I became a single artist oriented at that time.
Excellent.
I was about 19 years old and never went back to playing the organ again.
And you're 19 years old when that happened.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow.
And then, of course, I've had bands.
But I mean, groups. That's neat that it took, you know, you took a negative and you turned it into a positive. You know,
yeah,
she
yeah.
didn't show up. You didn't panic.
Right.
The show went on,
right.
and it became your career from that.
And then when she came back, we did like a duo, like Keeley Smith and Louis Prima, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
In fact, I saw them at the Top of the Dunes, too.
That's right. Years ago.
Yeah, years ago. My mom wanted to see her. I didn't know, you know, really the story behind her, who she was, but... Mom comes into town, and Mom gets to go see who she wants yeah. to see. So I'm up at the Top of the Dunes checking her out. Yeah, it was pretty neat. I got to videotape Sylvester Stallone's Wardrobe Man's wedding at the
wow.
Top of the Dunes
wow.
with our video production company. And I'm standing there, and Sly's waving at me to come on over. But I'm taping, and they told me before the wedding, the guy says, you know, don't bother him. Leave him alone.
Right.
But the right away, he sees the camera, and he's waving at me to come over and talk to him after I was told to leave him alone. Well, I'd like to put in another plug here. We got to mention our good buddy Mike Hallop over at Century 21 Solutions. You can give Mike a call. He'll help you buy or sell real estate here in town. He's a great guy. I also want to mention, again, a tax service and more. Over there at 3140 South Durango Drive. Phone number there is 702-240-8090. Call them if you got any tax problems because they can help you take care of that. I want to mention Amnesia Salon over at 6462 Losey Road over in North Las Vegas. Go see Ernie over there. Get your Brazilian, your manzillion, get your feet rubbed. They even got a chiropractor over there to pop you back in shape. So don't be afraid to stop by over there. And I also want to mention a sponsor of ours, Pete's Wheatgrass. Get them on the web. Pete's Wheatgrass, most of the health food stores here in town are selling Pete's Wheatgrass. Get a hold of them. It's the most oxygenated stuff you can drink that'll settle your stomach for sure. All right, at this point, I think we're going to play some more Jay's got over here. I think we're going to listen to either Marty Allen, I believe we got pulled up. We got some comedy. We like listening to some of these old greats. And the people that we're listening to tonight are people that Don Dino picked out that he's had some relationship with over the years at one point or another.
Yes.
Yeah. Go ahead and mention that a little bit.
Well, sure, sure.
Yeah.
Marty Allen, he's one of my idols as far as being funny, endurance. I think he's, what, 95 years old?
And Steve Rossi, too. I had more of a relationship
yeah.
with Steve. I did
yeah.
some comedy and worked with him several different times over the years. I never have met Marty. I got to go meet him because we're Facebook friends.
I don't know if we have time to tell you a cute story about Alan
yeah.
and Rossi.
Yeah, please do.
I was 16 years old, and I worked at a place called Ben Masick's Club in Boulevard in Brooklyn, New York, right?
Oh,
so
nice.
There they are, Alan and Rossi. They're starring. I'm a busboy. And the whole concept was, and we were instructed, the minute that curtain goes up, you have to bus all those tables and everything has to be off the tables because that's in their contract, you know? So, okay, fine. So, long story short, I'm the guy that drops the tray, the curtain's going up, all the china and dishware is broken, right? And I see Steve Rossi looking at me, and I didn't even know who he was. I didn't know how famous they were at the time either, you know?
Uh-huh.
I was just a young kid. So, anyway... After the show's over, the owner came up to me and he said, I'm so sorry, we're going to have to let you go. I said, why? What did I do? Well, you know, you're not supposed to do that. I said, well, who fired me? He says, well, the act complained about you. So I found out it was Steve Rossi, okay?
Wow.
So Steve Rossi had me fired. So I waited outside the club probably till 5 in the morning until they all came out.
Uh-huh.
And I walked up to Steve Rossi, and you know how tall he was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I said, and broken English, by the way, because I couldn't really speak 100% English.
Right.
So I said, I don't know if you know this, but one day you and I are going to cross paths again. I said, I don't really appreciate you had me fired, you know. Well, kid, you'll get over it, you know. Case in point, 1980, I'm in Las Vegas. The Royal Americana hires me. They built the showroom for me at that time. And who they hired to do the late show was Allen and Rossi, but it was Marty Allen. Marty Allen Rossi. So anyway, after a year, I became very successful and whatever, and so they decided just to have my show there. So I went to the last show of Allen and Rossi.
Oh, this is
because they
be
let
great.
Them go, right?
Right.
So after it was all over, I walk in the dressing room. I said, Steve, we became friends. Right. Steve and I became friends
right.
during that time. So I said, Steve, I said, I don't know if you remember me. He said, well, yeah, I know you. I said, no. Go back all the way. Avenue U in Brooklyn.
Oh, my God.
I said, do you remember that day? I said, one day I will stand in front of you and things will be different. So he looked at me and he said, son of a gun. And he remembered that.
Wow.
So now it was his time to go.
Wow.
And I stayed. It was unbelievable.
That's funny.
Yeah, the Review Journal did a story about that years ago.
That is funny. Yeah, what a great story. Yeah. That's fantastic. Yeah, that's neat the way it goes all the way around. It's like I mentioned that after we auditioned for the Gong Show, the Ain't Brothers, you knew our act from way back when. What's his name? Rip Taylor.
Rip Taylor.
Yeah, he ends up doing our stuff on Norm Crosby's Comedy Store. And 14 years later, he pulls into the valet at the Flamingo Hotel driving a white Lincoln. His license plate's confetti.
Right.
And they say, Rip, you remember doing a joke, the Polish unknown comic? He goes, oh, my God, how do you remember that? We did that years ago. I said, I wrote it. And he goes, oh, the writers gave it to me. I said, well, I figured either that's the case or that's why they call you Rip. And the guy started laughing at valet. I said, hey, I got even. You know, it took a while. At this point in time, I think we got a little comedy we can play, and then we got a few more minutes to talk, and then we'll be taking it out of here at some point. I think we're getting close to the end.
Fighting protege, Kid Hunky. On all my fights, and after I lost the last three, I asked him for a contract, and he said, don't worry, kid, I already got one out on you. The kid has me on a special diet, mustard greens, hog jaws, pig knuckles, and black-eyed peas. It hasn't improved my boxing, but hell, I can dance ring around any one of the pips. And he has his own ideas. We drink and we smoke and we play cards all night and we run around with broads. I ain't never won a fight, but who the hell cares? Many years ago, Buddy Hackett and Phyllis Diller had a love affair and they had a love child. I am that love child.
Television. There you go. We back live? All right. We're on the radio. Who was that? Was that Red Fox? Who was that we just heard?
Marty Allen.
Oh, geez. All right. I got to pay attention a little better than what I was doing. Marty Allen there for us, folks. What we want to mention here is that we got a documentary coming out, and the name of it is
Cowgirl to Showgirl, Just Like That.
Oh, okay. That's the title of it. All right. I don't think we mentioned that earlier, did we?
I did.
Cowgirls to Showgirls because she said that you did the song.
Maybe
about
I didn't.
It.
Yeah.
Okay, excellent.
Cowgirl to Showgirl, Just Like That.
Are you familiar with the Short Dam Film Festival up here in Boulder City?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I've been to that a couple of times. It's a lot of fun over there. You do a good job. Where else do you think you might take it to?
We're going
to
take it to France.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I do that just for the tax write-off to get over there and do that. That's a fantastic idea. Like going to France and taking a movie and deducting it off my tax.
We just think it's a great concept,
yes,
the way
is.
We put it together. And not only that, it's not only the showgirls itself. Cindy Domaney starts out with her life story, but through Cindy Domaney, that opened up the doors and the windows to every single iconic showgirl that we've been talking to and interviewed, you know. There was a club in San Francisco called Bimbo's. I'm familiar with that. Everyone started there, from Shecky Green, all the great, great performers in San Francisco.
Fantastic.
And the club's been there since 1939 and still there today.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like the old Roxy in Cleveland.
Yeah, yeah. Or the Copa, or the Latin Quarter in New York, that kind of a concept.
Do you ever work to Tangiers outside Akron?
No.
Oh, okay, no. Okay.
No, I worked at Charter House.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, that's by the lake.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's called Don's Charter House or something like
Is
that
it?
Now or something like that.
Well, I had to buy it, you know.
Sounds great. Now, have you ever been back to Italy? I mean, you have to have family over there and stuff, correct?
Last time I was back, maybe, I don't know, before I came to Vegas. But I haven't been back since.
Wow. Now, what about the best pizza in town?
The best pizza in town?
Yeah.
My house.
All right, really?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Well, my family was in the pizza business.
Really?
In New York, yeah.
At one time
we had, oh gosh, maybe 12 pizza places.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
See, here in town, what they had to do is they had to use reverse osmosis and a couple of different things because the water is so terrible here. And I even heard some of the people from New York were even sending out dough and stuff from there because our water here is just nasty, trying to make a decent pizza what people are used to back east.
They say that, but that could be overcome, you know.
Well, for years in this town, you remember LaVecchio's?
LaVecchio's,
yeah. You go in there and you get a nice sandwich. But for years in this, you had to go to like Chevrini's or up there by, they were in Paradise. There. Yeah, I mean, you had to go to a place like that because most of the places, if you went in and asked for a hot sub, they throw lettuce and tomato and put it in a microwave and then hand it to you afterwards. And you'd be looking at like, dude, I'm from back east, you know.
Right.
I know Cleveland's kind of Midwest, but we know what pizzas and,
right,
you know, subs are supposed to taste like. You know?
Well, somebody said, well, Don, why don't you just open up a pizza place in Vegas? You know so much about it. I said, it will never be successful. They said, are you kidding me the way you make it? I said, no, I can't make it like Domino's.
Right.
You know,
the cardboard.
Yeah, well, that's what the public is used to.
Right, right.
So if
exactly.
you make the real deal,
right,
I don't think they would appreciate
no,
it.
No, they wouldn't.
They
would.
What is this?
You got to go to high end. You got to be in the Palazzo or something.
Right.
You know, where they. Because we did that movie. We're sitting in there in that one Italian restaurant, and it was like $150, $200 per person a plate, looking at the menu.
Wow.
We were sitting there in the scene for Mall Cop 2.
Yeah.
Over that.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of movies shot here in town.
It's just I can't visualize taking a Domino's pizza and folding it.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
And the oil dripping, you know?
Right. Yeah, I know, the bottom of it's rough.
Yeah.
There was one place back in Ohio that was using, I think, Bisquick in their dough because they made a real fluffy type of dough,
uh-huh,
and it was pretty good. I think that's what they were using. I was trying to figure it out. I don't know what exactly they were doing. But the thing that I found out here is what they call vegetable oil is soy oil.
Soy.
I mean, I left it in a pan for 3 months, and it turned to like rubber that you get on the back of a credit card they send you in the mail. You know, that rubbery gummy stuff? That's what it turns into. And I mean, putting that on a pizza. And you can tell if somebody's using olive oil instead of something else. It's not as good. Now, we have another song by Mr. Don Dino we'd like to play. Are you able to see where that's at, our production fella today, where he's got that loaded up? Or do we need a minute to try to find that?
Tell me the name.
You're My World.
Every breath I take, you're my world, you're every move I make. Other eyes see the stars up in the sky, but for me they shine within your eyes. As the trees reach for the sun above, so my arms reach out to you, my love. With your hand
420 friendly? Then why not have 420 friendly accessories and earbuds? Presenting the OG Buds 4.1 Bluetooth wireless earbuds, OG Log, and the OG Blazing. Fast cables and chargers for your Apple and micro USB devices. Check them out at OGAudio.com. That's OGAudio.com.
Set controls to RadioVegas.rocks every Tuesday night for Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd.
Emily tries, but misunderstands.
Oh, by the way, which one's
what do you want from me?
Hey, it's Craig Bailey, your host for an hour of music from the dark side of the moon. An hour of Pink Floyd, Floydian Slip, Tuesday nights on Radio Vegas. Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd, Tuesday nights at 6 Pacific time, right here on Radio Vegas. Lots of solo material, too. Floydian Slip, an hour of Pink Floyd, every Tuesday night at 6 Pacific time, right here on RadioVegas.rocks. Learn more online at FloydianSlip.com. And listen every Tuesday night at 6 Pacific time to RadioVegas.rocks for an hour of Pink Floyd.
Gangster, Cranked Up Live, RadioVegas.rocks, and Rockin' Comedy Radio present the Rockin' Spring Music Festival, April 29th and 30th in Las Vegas, Nevada. Two full days, over 20 bands, two comedy acts, the best beer, the best food, and tons of booze. A real music festival in the heart of world-famous Las Vegas, Nevada. For tickets and more information, visit RockIntoSpring.com.
RockIntoSpring.com.
Brought to you by Gangster, Cranked Up Live, RadioVegas.rocks, and Rockin' Comedy Radio. Let's return to the Oscar, Bernie, and Ernie History of Comedy Show.
Thank you, thank you. It's great to be back. I want to thank our guest. Our special guest this week has been Don Dino. And he's got amazing stories because he's been in town a long time. He's produced a lot of work. And I had a little taste of that this last week because I got to pay the bands at Tommy Rockers that showed up to do the Last Man Standing concert that the Parrot Heads here in Vegas that we do. I'm on their board over there. And happy to say we've supported the Children's Heart Foundation and the Project 150 here in town, helping the homeless kids stay in school. And it was interesting getting to hang with the bands a little bit. They let me get up and do a little comedy because, hey, what the heck? I'm the guy writing a check, you know what I mean? They weren't going to stop me from getting up there. But anyways, you were mentioning earlier, Don Dino, that you booked some heavyweights, it sounds like, in town at the Aladdin or something like that.
Yeah, well, we did the Musicians I can't even say the word, Benevolent Association.
Oh, okay.
Raising money for the musicians, jazz musicians, actually.
Nice.
And there was a story that we had like Sarah Vaughan and many other artists on the show,
nice.
But we also had Frank Sinatra.
Wow.
See, I have a hard time just calling him Sinatra. I have
right.
to call him Frank Sinatra.
Right.
So we were all waiting for him. So he walked in backstage, you know, and we said, well, you know, Mr. Sinatra, is there anything we can get for you? You know, what kind of food, booze, whatever you want? He said, no. He said, what I'd appreciate, kid. He said, if you can have maybe a security guard stand at the back door. And he said, because I'm waiting for something. I said, okay, well, can you explain? He said, well, yeah. He said, I'm waiting for some dough, pizza dough, from the Leaning Tower of Pizza, right? And they had a package for him, so we had to have a security guard stand by the back door waiting for Sinatra's pizza dough. And that's all he really wanted.
Wow.
He didn't request anything.
Wow.
And it was truly a great guy.
Wow.
Gentleman.
What a neat story that is. I heard he was a train enthusiast.
Yeah. Lionel. And
yeah.
His son also, before he passed away. I worked with Frank Jr. at the Four Queens Hotel for years.
I remember when he was working down there. Yeah. I remember when he was working down there. Yep.
So I always said, are you going to inherit the train sets of your dad, you know?
Wow.
He said, well, he said, I'm not really a train fanatic like my dad was.
Wow.
But I think every kid from either Hoboken or from Brooklyn, I even myself, I had a collection of trains when I was a kid.
Nice, Yeah, I had the Lionels. I didn't do the HOs, but I had the Lionels. And I think it was like 64 or something.
Uh-huh.
Santa brought me the one engine that shot the rockets. And having four younger sisters, boy, I was shooting rockets all over the house. That train didn't even have to be on the tracks.
Right.
You know? Jason, boom. So anyways, fantastic. I'm glad you're here this evening. Thank you so much
for
coming out.
Me.
Oh, it's fantastic seeing you again. The last time I saw Mr. Dondino was back in 1980 or 81 at the Aladdin Hotel. And he had us come up there and perform with you. And I just put the 18 minutes up on our Oscar and Bernie YouTube channel and then be able to see that. Because when I put the first cut up there, you'd only put 10 minutes.
Right.
So now you can put over an hour on YouTube now.
Well, thank you for giving me the DVD to it, the video.
Oh, no problem.
Yeah.
And where are you going to be at next? Do you want to plug something at all? Are you just working on the documentary totally? Or you got any benefits coming up or anything?
Working on the documentary totally, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I do a lot of work outside Las Vegas. And it's just ironic, you know, after having my theater in Branson.
Right.
I was in Branson for like maybe 10 years.
Right.
So I came back to Vegas. To work. So I came back to Vegas to work, but I have to work outside of Vegas.
I know. I remember Johnny J telling me years ago, you know, everybody comes to Vegas to get famous, so you got to go to Reno to make money.
Right.
That's where the musicians would go to get.
But on a QT, I can't mention which facility, but hopefully by March of next year, I will have a residency show.
Oh, nice. Very nice. I'm going to do a little gig November 15th at the Silverton. We're going to do a little show over there.
November 15th?
Yeah, November 15th, we're going to be over there with Evan Davis doing a show.
I know Evan, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah, we're going to do a show over there. And then I met him doing the Neenan television show over there at the Peppermill. We did that this last week, promoting the thing for Last Man Standing.
Right.
And that was a lot of fun. Let me ask you, we're time-wise, we're running down to the end there. We got about 5 minutes, so let me mention one more time Amnesia Salon, because they sponsor our show. See Ernie over there on Losey Road. Check them out. And we want to also mention our sponsor, Pete's Wheatgrass. They're on Facebook and also on the Internet. They got a website. And if you want to feel healthy, that's just fantastic. Grind up that wheatgrass, drink that up, even if you have celiacs, because this isn't wheat grown all the way to the stalk. You can still drink wheatgrass, and it's a healthful thing to do. I'd also like to mention that Mike Hallop over at Century 21 Solutions, he's a great realtor. He'll give you the time of day to help you out, and he'll consult you for free. Just give him a call, and he'll talk to you and pick his brain for a minute and see what he can do for you on the real estate front. Now, also call us at Tax Service and More. 702-240-8090 to get your taxes done. If you got any problems with the IRS, we can help you on that too. Excuse me. I want to thank my daughter for making me a grandfather this last couple of weeks ago.
That's great.
Baby Elsie's in the world now, and my daughter has another tax write-off, so we're all proud of that. At this time, I think Jay will wind up with whatever you got over there you want to play for us tonight. That does.
Is that it?